From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On the previous program, Dr. Cairns returned to the book of Romans for a more thorough treatment of chapter 8 than he'd been able to give it during the extended series on the epistle. To begin, he sought to establish the connection between chapter 7 and chapter 8, an area of some disagreement among Bible teachers. In the latter part of chapter 7, Paul emphasized that salvation was not obtained by keeping the law of God, but by faith in Christ. Because of that truth, he opened chapter 8 by declaring that there is no condemnation for those who are trusting in Christ. The teaching of chapter 8 is first about the security of the believer, then about his sanctification. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of a message entitled Guilt-Free Christian Living. First, please listen to this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening. This morning's text comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. A primary qualification for serving God with any amount of success and for doing God's work well and triumphantly is a sense of our own weakness. When God's warrior marches forth to battle, strong in his own might, when he boasts, I know that I shall conquer, my own right arm and my conquering sword shall get unto me the victory. Defeat is not far distant. God will not go forth with that man who marches in his own strength. He who reckoneth on victory thus has reckoned wrongly. For it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. They who go forth to fight, boasting of their prowess, shall return with their gay banners trailed in the dust, and their armor stained with disgrace. Those who serve God must serve him in his own way and in his strength, or he will never accept their service. That which man does, unaided by divine strength, God can never own. The mere fruits of the earth he casts away. He will only reap that corn, the seed of which was sown from heaven, watered by grace, and ripened by the sun of divine love. God will empty out all that thou hast before he will put his own into thee. He will first clean out thy granaries before he will fill them with the finest of the wheat. The river of God is full of water, but not one drop of it flows from earthly springs. God will have no strength used in his battles, but the strength which he himself imparts. Are you mourning over your own weakness? Take courage, for there must be a consciousness of weakness before the Lord will give thee victory. Your emptiness is but the preparation for your being filled, and your casting down is but the making ready for your lifting up. When I am weak, then am I strong. Grace is my shield, and Christ my song.
And I find rest in calmness when
Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today.
Now, what people try to do, they take the law of God and they try to make it God's way of salvation. The first part of Romans 7 is all about showing that the law of God cannot make a bad man good. The law of God cannot justify. But then the second part of Romans 7 deals with another misuse of the law. There are people who say, I'm saved by grace, but sanctification is by law. There's something in our flesh that always wants to be legalistic. And Paul is showing at the second part of Romans 7 that the law not only cannot make a bad man good, but it can't make a good man better. The law of God cannot sanctify you. Now, let that sink in. That's what this is all about. The more I try to sanctify myself by keeping the law, the more I come under bondage. And yet there's something in every one of us that wants to do that. What was the Apostle Paul? He was a converted Pharisee. There was something in Paul, the converted Pharisee, that naturally gravitated back to Phariseeism. Paul recognized that. And he was saying, and this is the real, I believe, the real force of the second half of Romans 7. The more I try to do that, the more I come under bondage. And I end up crying. I'm in a body of death. Who's going to deliver me? And the answer is, I thank God. God will deliver me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Where can I find grace to live a holy life? Where can I ultimately get deliverance from a body of death and come into an eternal and glorified state? God will do it through the Lord Jesus Christ. That leads to the summary. So then, says Paul, to sum up logically, I myself, that's the real man, the real I, the renewed man, the redeemed man. I serve the law of God. You see, only a Christian can say that. An unsaved man could never say that. But there's something in a Christian recognizing he can't be saved by keeping the law, and he's not sanctified by means of the law. It's all by grace. It's all through faith in Christ. Yet the result is, he wants to serve the law of God. He wants to love the Lord with all his heart. He wants to love his neighbor as himself. There's something in a Christian that demands that he do that. So that's the real I, says Paul. But I'm still in the flesh. I'm still in the body. And this flesh is imbued with a different principle. This flesh is the servant of sin. My temptation is always to try to deal with it legalistically. But that's not the answer. The soul deliverer is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my justifier. He's my sanctifier. Now verse 1 of chapter 8. There is now, therefore, no condemnation. The sum of the matter now is this. Now, do you notice the two things the law couldn't do? Can't justify, can't sanctify. What does Paul need? Paul needs something to deal with guilt. Give him the ground of justification. He needs something to deal with the power of sin. Give him the power of sanctification. And so he deals with both. He says Christ is the complete Savior. He deals with both. And there's therefore, because God delivers me through Christ, my justifier, there's no condemnation. And because God delivers me through Christ, my sanctifier, I do not walk after the flesh, but I walk after the Spirit. We were singing tonight in the 32nd Psalm. I didn't know that anyone was going to ask for that psalm tonight. But it was certainly the right psalm for us to sing. And you'll notice there, the psalmist, who is quoted by the apostle, by the way, in Romans chapter 4, he takes these two things and brings them together. He brings together justification. He doesn't impute their sins to them. As Romans 4 says, he imputes the righteousness of Christ to them. That's how we're made acceptable to God. But then immediately, he goes on to deal with their walk and their character. That's what Paul's doing here. Let me tell you, it's impossible for a man to be justified and live the same as he's always lived. It's impossible for a man to be justified and have no interest in holiness, no desire to fulfill the commandments of his God and his Savior. It's impossible for a man to be a new man in Christ, to be taken out of Adam and put into Christ, and yet be the same rotten individual he always was without any intrinsic change in his being. That's impossible. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, not because they do not walk after the flesh. In fact, it's the other way around. It's because there's no condemnation, it's because they're justified, that they do not walk after the flesh. Sanctification is not the cause of our justification. That's the heresy of the Church of Rome. It is the fruit of our justification. And so that's how Paul deals with it throughout Romans chapter 8. When you're looking at Romans 8, remember there are two great themes working through here. I should put in here a word of warning, because you may be introduced to some of this wrong theology. There are people who come to Romans and they say, there you've got Romans chapter 7, there you've got the backslider, there you've got a Christian in darkness. Now you come into Romans chapter 8 and you've got the Christian and he's in victory. And Romans 8, therefore, is a chapter that's all about a sanctification that's almost like a second blessing, a second conversion. And they have this theory that they work out through Romans 8 that will almost lead to an elite among God's people. Here is a special level for special Christians. That's not what Romans 8 is all about. Sanctification gets in here, but it's a subsection to the great doctrine of security. This is all about the security and then the sanctification of a Christian. And if you read Romans 8, see how Paul works that out in a beautiful pattern. The first four verses, believers are justified and free from condemnation. Verses 5 through 13, in union with Christ, believers receive the power of the Holy Spirit to make them holy, actually to sanctify them. Verses 14 through 17, believers receive in union with Christ the witness of the Holy Spirit that they are adopted into the family of God and that they are joint heirs with the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then from verse 18 to the end of the chapter, believers have the assurance in union with Christ of their final glorification. Now that's what Paul's great message is. And the text on which he bases it all is, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Powerful words. Christ is the complete Savior of all who are united to Him by faith. That means that He gives them deliverance from the guilt of sin, and He gives them deliverance from the power of sin. I want you to notice something. This is a statement, not a promise. This is not a promise about what may be or will be. It is a statement. It describes a present state of affairs. Christians now have no condemnation. Christians now are walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And this is true of all of God's people. There are no exceptions. Anybody who doesn't fit into Romans 8 verse 1 is not a Christian. I want you to understand what I'm saying. If you're not justified, you're not a Christian. If God the Holy Spirit is not sanctifying you, you're not a Christian. You see, these are the marks of a genuine believer. Christ is the complete Savior, and He delivers His people from the guilt and the power of sin. When I thought of this, I called it guilt-free Christian living. That's what Romans 8 and 1 is all about. Guilt-free Christian living. I'm tempted to take off here. Maybe I will for a minute or two in this matter of guilt. Guilt is really a terrible thing. It may be a haunting feeling. Feeling of shame. A feeling of blame. But there is the recognition in guilt of an actual accountability to God, to the law of God. There is the recognition in the heart of a punishment and a condemnation that falls upon the head of the guilty. And no matter how hard we try to evade it, avoid it, deny it, there's no getting away from it. And I think probably everybody here has felt the hound of guilt won't let you out of its grasp, won't let you get away. However you try, yet that feeling, it's much deeper than a feeling. It's not some neurosis. It's based in actual hard fact. That guilt haunts you. For quite a while, I have read myself to sleep at night with one of Tolstoy's great classics. I ration these things so as I don't waste too much time. But I was very interested in Anna Karenina, because in it, the great Russian novelist tries to come to grips with guilt. Fascinating how he deals with it. The main character of the book is, of course, Anna, incomparable in her beauty, so intoxicated with her power over and her passion for Count Vronsky that she's able to compose herself to leave her husband, to leave her home, and even to leave her child. She cares nothing for the condemnation of a hypocritical society. She flaunts her happiness in her sin. But time goes by. Slowly but surely, her guilt eats into her soul. She justifies herself. She blames her husband. She blames her lover. She blames society. But still the worm gnaws away at her soul. Her happiness now alternates with jealousy and suspicion, and she falls a prey to self-destructive bitterness. At times she merely feels sorry for herself, but then she feels a loathing for herself that drives her to despair. Her self-justification gives place to self-hatred. Until at last, driven mad by grief and the feeling of her own unworthiness, she throws herself on the railway lines in front of a passing train, dies a victim of her own sin and guilt. That was one way Tolstoy examined this phenomenon of human guilt.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.